welcome to episode 119 of the Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. I'm Ben.
I'm Craig.
I'm Derek.
And this is Tink.
This week, we're talking about smartphones. Is it you or is it it?
So grab your USBs and ESVs and let's get started.
This week's topic is based off of a video that Christina posted in the Slack maybe a month or two back. And the video is titled, "It's Not You, Phones Are Designed to Be Addicting." The video's premise is that essentially our phones are created to cater to our every need, in a sense. But specifically, as it's catering to our needs, its goal is to keep, of each app, the app's goal, of course, is to keep us spending more time in their app so that they can continue existing.
Wait, can you guys imagine your existence as an app if you had to fight for everyone's attention in order to keep existing? Oh, that'd be awesome. There's got to be a good Black Mirror episode in there somewhere.
Probably.
One way that the apps fight for their right to exist is by notifications. And so the video, it's the main time that's spent in the video is offering tips for how to avoid these apps trying to draw you in and only focus on what's worthwhile. And so, yeah, he gives three different ideas, and they're all centered around notifications as a concept. And so first we'll talk about those ideas, and then at the end he gives us a philosophical question to think about. And so I want to together think about that philosophical question. But first, the practical tips. Number one is turn off all notifications that aren't from humans. So anytime an app says, "Hey, it's this person's birthday," you highlight that app and say, "No more notifications from you." Or anytime an app says, "Hey, there's 50 more Pokemon that you can catch now," you highlight that app and say, "No more notifications for you.
You are now quarantined."
Exactly.
Suck it, you naughty app. I could do that, but if I did that, then Guns of Boom wouldn't tell me when it's time for me to open another crate and get more game bucks. And how will I get the next shotgun if I don't get all the game bucks?
Literally every phrase you just said does not make any sense to me.
And yet, if you've played any game on iOS, or I'm sure Android as well, like, that also makes complete sense. I remember,
yeah,
like,
I kind of get it.
But my breaking point for that sort of thing was there's a Simpsons game called Tapped Out that I got into. I never watched The Simpsons, but I found it amusing.
Bad face.
My wife said in the background, if you didn't catch them, it's a bad face. I go through these phases of games where I get super into them and then I get bored finally. And then, anyway, that aside, It's one of those things where where you send your people to go do a thing and then you check in like 5 minutes later and then,
oh my gosh, those are the worst.
Yeah, I kind of like them, but that's a conversation for a different time. But if you give it access to your notifications, it will then constantly remind you, hey, you could now do this thing. Hey, now this person's done, you could do this thing. Oh my goodness, it's the worst. And like all games do this now. Even like,
imagine if that was a person though. Like, what if you gave someone unlimited access to just grab you and shake you every couple of times a day? Like, hey, pay attention to me.
Do you know
what are you doing? Why are you not playing me?
Do you know where I think this all came from though?
Where?
It all came from Japan with Tamagotchis.
Oh, that's an interesting theory.
Deep dive.
And it was in those days, it was like this: the stakes were high. Like something was going to die if you didn't interact with it.
Yeah, keep checking in.
Mind you, the stakes were low because that thing was a few pixels on a screen. But, you know, I think it got people into that frame of mind of I have to keep checking it and keeping it.
Yeah, you got to keep it alive till that next evolution. You never know what it'll turn into.
This time it's a chimera and it kills your entire family.
This is a fun fact. Tamagotchi is a portmanteau of the Japanese word for egg and the Japanese word for friend.
What's a portmanteau?
Portmanteau is when you stuff two words together.
Combination.
Like hangry is hungry and angry.
Huh. Today I learned.
Yeah, yep. It'd be like if we called our show Techformation. which would, that's a terrible
formation.
But, you know, it's a thing. So I'm totally behind the killing a ton of notifications that are unnecessary because apps are terrible about this.
Here's a practical step I've thought about. What if I just didn't have email on my phone?
Well, interestingly enough, the video says keep all, it's okay to keep notifications that are human.
Right.
People sending. So you could, I mean, you could remove email. I'm sure that would help you be off your phone. But I guess his point was that the original purpose of notifications was
to make you
check your phone less, because you used to, people would just be checking, did I get a text message? Did I get a text message? Did I get an email? And the answer may be no. But with notifications, you know, oh, I don't have to look at this until it buzzes at me. And so now apps are trying to play the middleman and say like, hey, it's this person's birthday, acting as if that person said, hey, it's my birthday, say something nice to me. And so we should turn off all things that aren't human so we can
get I wish we all did that.
Said, hey, it's my
birthday. In a world where everyone alerts you to their birthday, there is no need for smartphone notifications.
It would be like primary school all over again.
We don't know what primary school is.
Grade school, elementary school.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Elementary school is.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Just needed a little contextualization there.
Sorry. Primary and secondary here, or primary and high school.
How's that pronounced in Japanese, Tank?
Primary school?
Yes.
Konnichiwa.
Yochien.
Oh.
Konnichiwa. Okay.
There we go. Got our cultural.
Budai Mari Sukuru. They do that kind of thing. Ice cream computer. Anyway.
Ice cream computer. What?
Those are the Japanese word for ice cream and computer. Ice cream computer.
It's actually pretty funny.
Those are my two favorite Japanese words now.
Well, let's hit the second one. What's the second one?
So the second one is...
Oh, wait. Let me interrupt you guys because I just got a scripture typer notification. So I'll be right back.
Turn it off.
Sound of Sanity decided that was inferior to Versus, by the way. There's a whole episode about that.
But Michelle's already level 50-something, so I don't think she can switch.
Yeah, you can't give up those levels, man. Once you're gamified, you can't leave.
So the second tip is to grayscale your phone. And the reason being, notifications and apps, they've discovered that bright colors like bright red draw your eye more so than boring colors like gray. And so they'll make notification bubbles red and they'll make their app really shiny. And so when you turn on your phone, you see, oh, look, that unproductive app I can use instead of, oh, look, that productive app I can use. And so the idea is if you grayscale your phone, your eye isn't drawn to anything. They all get even playing field. And so if you turned on your phone to go read important things, then when you turn on your phone, your eye will begin looking for that important thing and not just get sucked into the shiny app that you want to play.
Yeah, your eye doesn't get drawn to anything because it all looks terrible.
That's very true. I have not grayscaled my phone.
Okay, funny story about this. I actually ran into two different people about weeks apart of each other in the wild, like in the real world, you know, the crazy world out there where there's actually humans.
Did they shake you and tell you it's their birthday?
They did not, but their phones were grayscaled. And I was like, oh, this is such an interesting idea. And then I tried it and it's like, makes me want to pull my hair out. It's horrible.
I know. It's
why
awful.
Would I ever do this to myself? And also it's almost like you need to be put in a straitjacket too, because actually your phone's not really grayscaled, because when you take a screenshot and send it to someone, it's in color. And so it's like, wait a second, is this only in my brain? Is this thing actually grayscale? What's happening? So I only did it for like an hour and I turned it off. But then, not kidding, just last night I ran into another person who has this grayscale thing, and he had an iPhone X and he triple tapped the lock button and it flips back to full color and then flips back to grayscale.
Oh, yeah.
Accessibility feature. Mm-hmm. So since you can do that, I did that with my home button and now I'm grayscale all the time, baby. Woo!
How's it been?
That doesn't make any sense.
Awful.
Since last night. All the time since last night.
Well, there's some things that it just makes no sense. Like a picture. I need to see color.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I gotcha.
Or like if I'm watching a video, you know, I would like to see color on that. But I just need it for a few minutes, you know?
But you don't need it. Like, haven't you ever seen Citizen Kane or like... There's black and white
movies.
We're
not living in the 1920s, Craig, okay? It's not like everything is black and white in real life, so we might as well have black and white in our...
Well, and shades of gray. But yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I think it also just it seems annoying because it completely undermines the whole field of design that is there for good reason, like to help you use things better and be more efficient. And
the point like, of nope. The red badge is so that it does draw your eye so you can take care of the important notifications. We've just all been... taken by all these apps that constantly send notifications. So we're like, get rid of all of them.
Yeah, we're oscillating on a pendulum.
Yeah, it'd be cool maybe if you could choose which color the notifications are for which app.
Well, that would be fun.
Never give you that kind
of... Oh, man.
Yeah, there's no
people
way.
Would have the worst color combinations. It would clash all over the place, but
that would be that kind would of be fun.
Kind of interesting.
Who started this trend? Because this was something that I hadn't heard this, you know, hashtag life hack at all up until like a month ago. And I've heard this from so many places online now. Like I see them in random tweets. This video had them. Do we know who started this?
I think it was the New York Times. That's the first place I heard about it. And this was like probably 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago?
No, wait.
Because this was video probably, was like...
yeah, 3 weeks prior to me seeing this video.
Okay, I see. That makes sense. Maybe Tamagotchi started it. It was black and white.
I could be wrong about that. But when I was in elementary school, one of my friends was a guy from Hong Kong who'd moved to Australia and he had... one of those. And he also had a watch that he could watch TV on and stuff back in Hong Kong.
Oh, wow.
And that was my first exposure to... This is like 1994, 5, 6. So this was like my first exposure to tech that was not just we go to the computer room and use the computer for half an hour and then we go back to class. Like it was tech that moved around with him and was kind of something that he interacted with all the time or pretty frequently throughout the day.
So this one is not going to work for me. I need another tip tank. I need another tip to help me call my phone addiction tank. What is another option for me?
It's the number 3, and this one fights a similar thing that Grayscale is attempting to fight. And I have implemented this tip. And so the tip is to move any app that is unproductive off of the main screen you see. And so once again, the idea is when you open your phone, you won't look at the unproductive things that you could be doing, but instead the first things you'll see are all of the productive things that you could be doing. And also the notification badges that draw your eyes. If you don't like the problem with them drawing your eyes, you can move those to another screen. So when you turn on your phone, and if you've turned off all notifications already, as far as the pop-ups, then you won't even know you've gotten something over there. And so when you open your phone, you'll not be drawn to those apps. You'll instead be just seeing the apps that are productive. And then if you're like, this is a time where I can go play, you can just slide over. And that's where all your unproductive apps will be.
My second home screen will just have all of the time-wasting things, and I'll just spend all day there.
Yeah, that's right. It's only a swipe away.
It's a good. It sounds like a good marketing campaign.
I'm generally a fan of this because, yeah, if you find there are apps that are, I mean, I know it's just a swipe away, but there is still that slight fence to cross. If like this only works if you're trying to break yourself from certain apps or whatever. But if there's a little bit of a fence to remind you, yeah, it's a good reminder.
Okay, I'm looking at my home screen right now. Can you just tell me kinds of things that are productivity apps that belong on the home screen and kinds of things that are not productivity apps that belong not on the home screen?
Wunderlist or list making apps in general on the home screen.
Okay, I've got a couple of those.
I put Kindle there because I use it for seminary reading. I have
got that one.
All my stuff to study Japanese.
What about Twitter?
Calendar. Not Twitter's social.
Twitter's on my fourth screen.
But, wow. But it's Twitter's actually on my second phone, which I've buried out in the backyard so that I never use it.
There you go. That's a fence to cross.
What about this one, Ben? Goodreads. Where does that go?
It's in a folder on my home screen next to Kindle.
You know, we should do a home screens show. Sure. I know everybody does that, but
I think we've already done it before.
Have we? I don't know.
That's all right. It changes. We can.
Everyone do does that. I've never heard anyone do that.
Oh, I listen to a bunch of Relay FM shows that just like every so often they'll just do home screens. My home screen is terrible. I haven't managed it in like a year. So I have like 3 or 4 screens.
How about this? Instead of a home screen segment, you send me your phone and I'll send you one of you mine. I guess, Derek, because I don't want to pay the shipping for Japan and Australia. And we'll just set each other's fair. Home screens.
This is a terrible idea.
We'll set each other's home screens. Yes. So anyway, to Ben's question, what things should not be on the home screen? The video suggests anything that provides infinite scrolling or autoplay, such as like Netflix, it just says, or YouTube. Hey, after you finish this video, we'll make it really easy just to keep going.
Or Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook has the auto scrolling and also says the pull down to refresh thing is like a casino. If you like pull this lever, ooh, maybe something new and shiny will show up. And
so but the dopamine, like it's so nice.
The chemicals. Michelle and I, when we do puzzles, we talk about the chemicals you get from putting pieces in. Mm. It's like, oh, we got to get more chemicals. I can't find a piece. I'm freaking out.
I'll even add to that. Like, there are apps that I just don't have that I just go to the website for because it gives me that marginal more protection against enjoying myself enough that I stay there when I don't want to. You know, like that unsatisfying satisfaction of staying a long time on a social media app when you know you really don't want to. So like my Facebook app, I don't have the Facebook app on my phone. I don't have YouTube on my phone because otherwise I just spend way too much time on YouTube. Things like that could be an option too. Just take it off the phone entirely.
Sorry, I'm not paying attention because I'm looking at apps on my phone.
I thought about the infinite scroll thing. And then I don't know. I think a part of the issue with that is it's a good idea, like to move it to second screen or third screen, whatever, get it away from the sort of the main entry point. But I think reflecting on the way that I use my phone and use those apps, they're the apps I go to when I kind of intentionally want to be distracted, if you know what I mean. So when I'm sitting in a waiting room and there's nothing else to do, or when I'm standing in a really long line at the supermarket or something like that. So like infinite scroll is actually helpful in those situations. It's not necessarily a bad thing. But having said that, there's also plenty of times when I'm at home and could be doing more productive things or spending time with family and find myself caught in the infinite scroll web. So I don't know. I just wonder whether the idea of moving things to a second screen is enough. Deleting them, like Derek said, is probably better. But I guess my feeling is always like, how much do I want to sort of put like little boundaries in place for myself with the tech in that way? Like I can delete an app, but I can also just reinstall it, right? So like, how much do I want to sort of augment the way that I use it in terms of what's installed and that kind of thing and how easy it is to access? And how much do I just actually want to be a grown up and say no? Do you know what I mean? Like, how much do I actually just want to train myself to say that's not worthy of my time, or that's not worth getting distracted by in this situation? And so I'm going to make a mental shift to switch off from that and turn away from it. That's hard, but I think I feel like I want to be there instead of going, maybe I should put these restrictions on myself technologically because I can't in any other way make myself stop doing certain things.
Yeah. Does that make sense? Like if you're trying to limit yourself from I keep using the fence analogy for some reason today. Like if you're trying to keep yourself from, you know, escaping the farm with a fence, like you're treating yourself like an animal, there's
or falling off a roof.
Or falling off a roof. Okay. Yep. There's a part to that where it's just a crutch. You're just using a crutch to keep your urges, you know, in check when we should be, you know, keeping ourselves in check, you know, being able to have the self-control. So I see these things as more of like a bridge to having that self-control instead of the end point.
Or a bridge to Terabithia. On another note, Craig, do you feel like your advice there amounts to basically just stop it?
Kind of, yeah. Like, if you feel like you want to stop it, stop it.
Stop it. Get some help.
Could you see how that might not work for an addict?
Yes, that's true. And well, what I'm saying is, in certain cases, I find that strategy doesn't work for me, and so I feel like maybe I do need to go with the other strategy, with the crutch strategy. Cool. If that makes sense. Yes. But I'm just saying, my end goal would be to not have to have the crutch there, to be able to say I have developed over time the self-discipline that I can reinstall Facebook on my phone and not have it take up unnecessary amounts of time.
Yes, crutches are not meant to be used forever. Very important point.
Yeah, so that's the end of the tips that the video gives. But if you guys have any tips that you use yourselves, or you perhaps wish you used yourselves, post them in the Slack and we can find out what's working for you.
Let's take a quick break to talk about our sponsor this week, which is Missional Wear, your Reformed theology gift shop. Missional Wear prints apparel, drinkware, and accessories with beautiful artwork of historical creeds, quotes, and faces of various reformers. And when I say apparel, I mean t-shirts, hoodies, ladies' shirts, ties, bow ties, that sort of stuff. You can get all sorts of drinkware, whether it be coffee or whiskey. You should just go ahead and check out their accessory section. They've got all kinds of crazy random stuff like Bible covers, portfolio covers, mouse pads. If you're still into mouse pads, if you haven't jumped onto the trackpad train like I have. Even wall decals. They have a ton of wall decals. You should check it out. Missional Wear has been making things since 2010, and they've grown an impressive library of designs and items that will appeal to any theologian. To grab some apparel, drinkware, or accessories for yourself, or even just to browse their gorgeous designs, check them out at missionalwear.com to get your lifestyle on mission to the glory of God. Thanks to Missional Wear for sponsoring Tech Reformation.
The video, after focusing a lot on practical, ends simply by asking a question. And so we wanted to end as well by discussing the question that is posed.
It's a really deep philosophical question. What is genuinely worth your attention on an interruptive basis? Do people even know how to answer that question? It's a really hard question. It's not something we think about.
But for now, it's a question that everybody needs to start asking.
So, Tank, what is really worth your attention on an interruptive basis? Now you guys try, because they said everyone needs to ask it.
Oh. Ben, what is your... I forget the question already. Dang it. I should do a radio show.
That seems like a bad idea, man.
Yes, I think he says specifically on an interruptive basis, because as we talked about, the tips are all focused around notifications. So his main question is, what is really worth giving you notifications and saying, as Ben said, shaking you and saying, hey, pay attention to me. But then that also asks, I mean, from that, we can also ask the question, what's worth not being interrupted? Just what's worth our attention in general? So what are your thoughts on his question? Yeah, that was my way of asking it. So Craig's turn.
Yeah. I have when I got my Apple Watch like a year ago, I went through this question a lot, trying to pare down all my notifications, making sure that I'm only being interrupted for what is important. And I think I need to do that again. But it's helpful. I've found it helpful to have those interruptions be something that becomes a little bit more elective in responding to it too. This isn't really answering the question, but having the separation of, like, I get notifications on my watch, and then I can respond to them on my phone, but it takes me taking out my phone to respond to them. So I won't respond to them if I don't have to. So there's a little bit of a disconnect there that's helpful. But I mean, human interaction, I find, is the most important when we're talking about interruptions from our phones. But I also think that, I mean, real life people, if they interrupt your phone, that's probably more important too, which is a lot more difficult to put into practice. But It is. It's more important when Rainey comes up and interrupts me when I'm trying to set up for the show to respond to her than, you know, keep going with the show, which is not something that I've mastered, but something I need to work on.
I'm answering this question in my head as I look at my notifications and turn off the ones that aren't important enough for my attention.
Having the practice of going through your notifications, the thing every once in a while and seeing, okay, which app do I really need notifications from? Who really needs that badge? Does Trello really need that badge? Or will I check that at some point? Like notifications that aren't immediately necessary and you'll probably check up on it in the next 2 days. Like it's probably fine to just not have notifications from that. Like I don't
like State Farm. How did you even get in here? Why are you even on my phone?
I don't even use State Farm. Yeah, I think that's a good point, Derek. And whenever we think about it, really, unless it's an emergency, like someone's calling us to tell us that something bad has happened, or basically somebody calling us, I feel like maybe within our phone, maybe the only thing that truly deserves interruptive status, you know, that it may be the only thing, either a call or somebody, maybe where you can put your phone on that, like, don't interrupt me because I'm sleeping unless somebody calls me three times mode.
Do not disturb. Basically,
yeah, do not disturb. That's a lot better way of saying it.
The marketer should have gone with your name, Tank. Much more memorable.
Maybe even too long on
that's
the button
such a long
for
button.
Turning it on. Yeah. But
hold on, let me just scroll this text really quick to see what this switch does.
We should do that on all the apps. They should all have a long explanation. But anyway, maybe that's the whenever you would be disturbed by something that could get past the do not disturb button, maybe that's truly the only thing worth interrupting us. And otherwise, we could only check our phone. We could survive only checking our phone when we say, I have time to check my phone right now.
I feel like this question is a way of formulating the debate I've had internally for the last, I don't know, months, years. Like, should I just ditch the smartphone altogether?
Light phone.
I don't think I could.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to because I like podcasts and Kindle books, but there's a lot that's not super great also.
I think when we're talking about like what's worthy of our attention, I think it's probably important to think about the context of the time that we're spending. So an example would be like you use the do not disturb mode, Tank, as an example of like if something was going to get through that, then that's probably worthy of your attention. I would agree. So when you're asleep, the do not disturb mode, or when you're trying to not be on your phone intentionally, the do not disturb mode can help make sure that any of the things that are really, really important do get through. But when you're awake, there are other things that feasibly could be necessary or useful. For example, for work, I need to monitor my workplace's Facebook presence so that I can respond to people in a timely manner and stuff like that. Now, that doesn't take up a huge amount of my day, but I do have the notification badge on for that so that I can see when that needs to happen. And I wouldn't say that's a bad use of a notification. I think it's worthwhile and it serves a helpful purpose, but it also doesn't take a long time. It's not like a Facebook notification where it's, oh, I have 25 unread things that have happened on Facebook today, and then I'm all of a sudden looking at the latest cat video or whatever it is that is scrolling past. It's probably more likely a Gospel Coalition article or something, but you know what I mean? Like I have notifications turned on for things that I know I can spend a bit of time on without going too far into. Slack is probably the one where I'm maybe most in danger of spending too much time because I do have my Slack badge, notification badge on. But the helpful thing about that is most of the discussion happens when I'm asleep. So by the time I wake up and look at all those badges, I'm like, well, I can't keep up with this anyway, so I'm going to work. And then I just chime in occasionally, which is good and bad. It's sad that I can't interact more. But you know what I mean? Like, I know for me, that's not going to be a huge time puller during the day when I'm trying to do other things. So it's not a problem. But so I think there's certain time, like there's times of day and times in terms of like whether we're working or whether we're recreating, when certain apps are valid to have to be able to distract us. But I also think there are certain apps that we could just rule out and say that one is probably just not at all necessary to have notifications turned on for.
I can solve one of those problems for you right now, Craig. Delete Facebook from your phone and never look back like I did months ago. It's the best.
Well, I might be going one better and getting a light phone, so...
Even better. Even better.
That might be a fun experiment. Although I'm going to start off with only using it on weekends because I don't know if I could, you know, it's like pulling out an IV drip that you've needed for a number of years and then I might get the shakes or something. No, I don't know.
Instead of having like information-y or digital or service-y jobs, we could just rage against the machines and go back to the agrarian age.
We could. Huh? Huh?
Hunter? Gatherer? Which one are you guys?
Just really briefly from Tony Reinke's book that Ben and I are both reading, and I encourage other people to read it too. It's called 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. He pretty early on talks about three categories of distraction that we need to be aware of. He talks about unchecked distractions that blind our souls from God, which is things like anxieties and worldly concerns. Unchecked distractions that close off communion with God, so busyness and task lists and things like that. Time pressures throughout the day, and then unchecked distractions that mute the urgency of God, which includes things like the other things that, God causes us to be responsible for, so marriage duties and household responsibilities, so muting them in favor of technology. I've found I think that's a helpful thing to keep in mind because those three categories when I find myself stuck in social media land, for example, those three categories are a good slap over the head. Like, which one of these am I using this for right now? Am I using this so that I don't have to think about anything more serious, like anything sort of eternal? Am I using this because I'm trying to, you know, tick off a task and whatever when I could actually be doing something that's more spending time with God, spending time with my family? I don't know. I just think there's ways of thinking about distraction that can be, you know, maybe even before we go and put in place different boundaries and crutches and whatever to help us to just keep in the back of our minds so that when we find ourselves distracted, we can, I guess, think biblically or think with like a spiritual mindset about what's driving me to the distraction in the first place and then how do I need to think about that in order to hopefully change my behavior.
And if it's not worth thinking about, it's not worth watching. That's all from us here at Tech Reformation. To you and yours, have a great and happy Merry Christmas.
I feel like you just referenced something. I have no idea what it was.
I don't know what happened just then.
I don't really either.
Also, on the same vein, but coming from it on the other side, from what Craig was saying about not letting things distract you from God. Looking at it from while you're with God, keeping out distractions. I read a while back ago, I was reading Francis Chan, Marriage in Light of Eternity. And one thing that's really stuck with me that I remember, he's talking about just spending time with God. And he says that when we're doing our daily time with him, focused quiet time with him, that even the children should be aware, like mom or dad right now is with God, and that while he or she is in the presence of God, that he's more important than you at this moment, that God, this time with God is not worth being interrupted. And so you're going to have to wait until he finishes, until he or she is finished with this time with God, allowing even the child to realize like, God is so important that that this time that my dad or my mom is getting in front of him and spending time with him, that I'm not allowed to interrupt him. And so I think, of course, if it's applied even to our children, and of course, Francis Chan would say if there's emergencies, then yeah, it'd be interrupted. But if that goes so far as even our children shouldn't interrupt us during that time, then yeah, we can take a look at our phone and say, is it interrupting our time with God when we're saying I'm sitting right now before the throne? Ba-da-dunk. Oh, hang on, God, I need to check this. You know, and so yeah, taking a look at just that that time with him, and are we letting anything stand in the way as we come before him.
If you would like to connect with us, you can do so by jumping in our Slack workspace. Sign up at slack.techreformation.com. The conversation's been hot lately, and we're almost to 500 in the Slack.
Woo! And you can always follow us on Twitter and talk to us there as well if you prefer that avenue. That's at TechReformation on Twitter.
Or visit our website, techreformation.com, to see all of our past shows and topics.
This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
And I ain't looking back. No, no, I ain't looking back. No, no, I ain't looking back. No, 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 I ain't looking back. I made my choice, and I ain't looking back.
It's the number three, and this one fights a similar thing that Grayscale is attempting to fight. Is to move. I missed what's
I'm
funny.
So sorry.
I don't know what
Derek
happened.
Derek and I both started typing in the Google Doc, and then his fingers just went crazy and he started typing ASDF.
Okay. Okay. I'm really sorry.
Poor Tank. Remember, Tank doesn't like distractions.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Come on, Tank. We can do
being
this
on an uninterrupted basis.